The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good morning. It's 8 a.m. Central Time, Wednesday, the Ides of March, March 15th, 2023. Yeah, Caesar's already dead, so you don't have to worry about that. The thing is that it's a calendar event, okay? So for those of you thinking that March 15th is dark and gloomy, it's really not. But the news that we have to uncover, I'll tell you what, every time I turn around, I get surprised by stuff. And we have a gentleman on with us now, Dr. Andrew Huff. He is a combat veteran, technologist, and infectious disease epidemiologist with decades of experience in scientific research, national security, and entrepreneurship. Now, here's something that's going to blow your doors off. He was a senior scientist and vice president with Echo Health Alliance. Remember Dr. Peter Daszak? Yeah, he was a senior member of the technical staff at Sandia National Labs. He's held positions in government, non-governmental organizations, industry, and academia. And when he's not fighting for truth and justice in the American way, he can be found skiing, fishing, and hunting with his family in Michigan. So at least we know he's a 2A kind of guy. Dr. Andrew Huff, you wrote a book called The Truth About Wuhan, How I Uncovered the Biggest Lie in History. Now, you were boots on the ground. You're the first guy. I mean, I couldn't get Peter on the program, so obviously, I mean, you're the first guy that we are actually, you know, addressing face-to-face here about you being an insider and seeing all of what is going on. And I'm just dying to get the juicy details, and I know you're going to share them with us, right?
Yes, sir.
So what do we know without the short, choppy sentences? You can elaborate as much as you want. Folks, if you've got questions, I mean, here's somebody who actually worked in the same organization that got this jab and sent the ingredients with several million dollars and then some, because now we're finding out there was multiple payments. They sent him to Wuhan to finish the culturing because gain of function, the heat started to get turned up here in America. I'm anticipating that's probably what happened. Am I right?
Actually, there are several different things in parallel. So that's one of the things.
Okay. Wow, that's a short, choppy sentence.
Yeah, that's a short, choppy sentence. Well, so really what's going on here, when you take a look at it. So one, there was the domestic ban on gain of function. And then they did outsource the gain of function work to China to get around this domestic ban. That was Dr. Anthony Fauci. The other thing that's going on here, which I discuss in my book, is that here, let me ask you a fun question. Do you think the Chinese need $400,000 to do gain of function work?
Not at all.
Do they need $5 million?
Not at all. They can print money anytime they want, and people in China love it. So it doesn't
exactly.
matter.
So why would they allow a bunch of Westerners into their bioweapons laboratory?
That's a good question. Why would they?
That is the question. So when I used to work at Sandia National Laboratories and earlier in my education, I learned that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was likely the center or the place where they made biological weapons. The Chinese Communist Party was working there. The Chinese military was working there. So it'd be very strange for them to allow Westerners there. And I went through the thought process in my book. Well, yeah, you have to ask a question. So what do you think the Chinese were getting out of this?
Well, you know, we've had doctors on our show frontline, Dr. Andrew, that have said this is all a matter of trying to depopulate the world.
No, it's actually simpler than that. What the Chinese were getting out of this was advanced biotechnology from Dr. Ralph Baric's laboratory at the University of North Carolina, Dr. Ian Lipkin's laboratory at Columbia University. So this was an intel operation. We were swapping advanced biotechnology with the Chinese so we could get people into their laboratory to collect intelligence. Otherwise, we would have no clue, or we wouldn't be able to get insiders into that laboratory. And you know, the funny thing here is that how stupid this is. So when I worked at Sandia National Laboratories, it's one of the most secure U.S. facilities in the country, if not the most secure. You know, what do you think we did with foreigners when they came to the laboratory? Do you think we showed them everything that was going on?
I would hope not. if it's a secure facility.
Yeah, we took them on the special tour, we called it. We had a room that we brought them to, and it got bug swept, and we had little minders following them everywhere to go, and maybe we burnt down the facility when they were gone. So, I mean,
I highly doubt that.
No, not really.
They got the nickel tour.
Exactly. They got the nickel tour. And so do you think the Chinese did the same thing to Westerners when they visited that laboratory?
Well, you would think.
You would think, right? Yeah. So that's likely what happens here. And so what this actually represents is the biggest intelligence failure in U.S. history. It far surpasses 9/11 because one interesting part of the story, and what I discuss in the book, Dr. Peter Daszak told me that he was working with the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA. So in late 2015, he approached me after work and he actually asked me, Andrew, do you mind if I ask you a question? I said, sure, Peter, go ahead. Someone from the CIA approached me and they're interested in the places that we're working, the people we're working with and the data we're collecting. And then he mumbled something about China. And then he asked me, do you think it's a good idea if we work with them? And now I had worked at Eagle Alliance after working in national security in these top secret places, right? So I was shocked when he asked me this. And I had so many different things going in my mind. I didn't know what to say. I go, Peter, it never hurts to talk to them, which is true. There could be money in it. And he agreed. He nodded his head. We went down the elevator and, we both went home. So shortly thereafter, in between meetings and breaks over the next 2 months, he then told me that the relationship with the CIA was proceeding. So in hindsight, it could have been one of two things. Maybe a new relationship was forming, or maybe Eagle Alliance was already working with the intelligence community. So I don't know what's true. Congress needs to ask these questions. They need to declassify all the records related to Eagle Alliance, COVID, if they exist, and start asking the intelligence community some really tough questions here when this relationship formed. One of the interesting developments that came out the past 2 days is that, did you catch this, the article or the news that Eagle Alliance had actually received more money and had been double dipping from different agencies?
That's what we were told. Now, I have a feeling you're going to tell us something different, or?
Well, no, I suspected that. And so yeah. The reason why I suspected that, and it was actually one of my first whistleblower complaints that I submitted to the Senate, the House, and then also to all the different three-letter agencies when I first came forward. So when I worked at Eco Health Alliance, a person by the name of Alexei Chmura, he's now Alexei Chmura, he was the chief of staff for Eco Health Alliance. He worked very closely with Peter. He's Peter's right-hand man. So he would come by my office periodically when I was a senior scientist or when I was vice president and ask if he could move the time or billing of my employees between different contracts within the organization. Well, technically, you're not supposed to do that if they actually worked on contract. So if they're working on my project, hey, contract A, you're not supposed to bill to contract B. So I got the sense that that was starting to happen. And this would, Alexei would stop by my office probably once a week with one of these type of requests. And I didn't want to deal with it. So I'm like, yeah, that's okay. And it's sort of, sort of gray area. But while working at Eco Health Alliance, there are a number of strange things that happened. Another strange thing. So later during my tenure there, I'd worked there for about 2 years. This would have been 2016. I called a meeting with Dr. Peter Daszak and then the CFO, Harvey Kasdan, and Alexei Chmura also attended the meeting. And the purpose of the meeting was to ask for salary pay raises across the company, specifically for my employees who are mostly more advanced statisticians, computer scientists, engineers, software people, mainly because I'd been losing employees to Google, Facebook. Those were the companies that I had to compete against to retain employees. So without those pay raises, I was scared I was going to lose people. And it already happened a couple times. And Peter Daszak was a very cheap person. He never wanted to pay employees at the company well. And that's sort of common with nonprofit organizations. He was always trying to get people for cheap. There's a lot of high turnover in the lower ranks of the company or within the company. And so I was making a case to really, improve the company and my department so we didn't have this institutional memory loss. Well, when I brought this all up, Peter was just flabbergasted that I brought this up. And, we started arguing back and forth about this. And in the heat of the moment, I said, we've got all this financial fraud going on at the organization. And Harvey Kasdan was a heavy set man. And he started breathing really heavy, and because he's the CFO. And he's telling us to both calm down, Peter and I. Well, Harvey went home and then had a heart attack and died.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And I mean, so I don't know if it was the stress or maybe there was actually more going on here. We had actually submitted proposals to InQtel, which is the CIA venture capital firm. Did you know that they had one?
No, I did not.
Yeah, so the CIA
has profit with a venture capital. Who'd have thunk?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a great idea. So the way that they do this is because they realize that the U.S. government is not very good at producing commercial technologies. And it's a fact. The government and program managers in the government know this. So the idea is they want to get companies partnered with the government. And, you know, they want to scale those technologies, if they're actually for intelligence purposes, out to everyone in the world. They want a product that everyone buys so then they can backdoor it and collect your information or gather whatever intel they're looking for. So companies that InQtel have invested into, Google with Google Earth, IBM, and if you go look this up, there's a number of other tech companies InQtel has invested into. InQtel, so we wrote a proposal, an investment pitch from EcoHealth Alliance to be presented to InQtel, and we actually proposed this, and I've released this document online to prove it. We'll go around the world and collect coronaviruses and infectious disease samples from bats. We will then do gain-of-function work to make medical countermeasures. Isn't that a really strange thing for EcoHealth Alliance to be pitching to InQtel? Well, another partner company of ours did the same thing, Metabiota. That's the one that Hunter Biden's investment from Rosemont Seneca invested in. So if you go look at Metabiota, they were actually invested into by InQtel. I don't know if EcoHealth Alliance ever actually got the investment. I didn't see any publication saying that they did. And InQtel actually puts out quarterly earnings reports to demonstrate this. So I don't know if EcoHealth Alliance, you know, didn't receive anything, or maybe they're receiving black money or dark money or excuse me, or maybe they're laundering money in some way. I mean, I don't know, but EcoHealth Alliance, Congress needs to go through it and the courts need to go through it with a fine tooth comb and you track every penny and take a look at it, because, you know, something's off. I mean, there's definitely something off here, at least just from the finance part. And at a minimum, they were moving employees across contracts and, you know, from billing A to billing B. And I've already given that under oath with penalty of perjury. And then it might be beyond that.
Now, when you say under penalty of perjury, we're talking about you testifying before House and Senate committees?
Depositions and also sworn affidavits.
Folks, this is crazy, crazy right here.
And all this information that I've said, I told you, is all within same conditions, the deposition or an affidavit. So
but I mean, everything you've documented everything.
Yes, and I'll go to prison if I'm lying, but I'm not lying, so I don't, you know, I have no fear about it.
No, I get that. And see, the thing is, folks, the phone lines are open, 844-769-2944. Here we have somebody on this show that actually hands-on inside that organization. I'm just surprised the phone lines are quiet. I think people are stunned at hearing half the stuff we're talking about here, Dr. Andrew, because this is one of these things where people now are starting to get truth bombs, and we drop a lot of them here on this show, and people have always doubted that our United States government wasn't part of this equation. And China, even when everybody is now pointing a finger at China, China's pointing a finger back and say, you need to look in your own backyard, folks. You were aware of that too, right? They started.
Absolutely. And so the really tragic thing here is that our Congress is so corrupt and compromised. And I'm talking about both parties here, the Republicans and the Democrats. They have no. So the Republicans, I can tell you that the House Intelligence Committee from last session, all the Republicans knew all of this information because I gave it to them, sworn testimony under oath. And did this information come out to the public? No. And so what I had heard in both from the Senate and the House is that the Republicans wanted this story to go away because they knew the truth. They didn't want to deal with it, and they wanted to protect the pharmaceutical companies. So there is a lot of BS coming from both the Republicans and Democrats of how they're going to get to the bottom of this. Both are protecting the pharmaceutical industry. And the other thing that both parties are protecting here, the Department of Defense. So when you actually trace this all back to where the roots of the jab, the mRNA jab are, and this gain of function work, it's all Department of Defense Intelligence Committee work. This work used to be done within the Department of Defense. And then what happens is that Anthony Fauci eventually takes over more of the contracts and the programs from the Department of Defense. So actually, as of today, All the biodefense and chemical defense research is done through Anthony Fauci's old research division, so the National Institute for Allergens and Infectious Diseases. And that's really strange when you think about it. And when as a student and I started to learn about this becoming a doctor, I was like, God, isn't that sort of strange that this biodefense, this chemical defense research is funded through NIAID, you know, usually infectious disease health research. And I started just naturally asking the question, well, why is this? And I went back and looked at the paper trail and the why and, you know, the federal registry notices. And really, it was just, you know, a shift in power. You know, defense was getting rid of it. And the U.S. government wasn't really supposed to be working on bioweapons research due to a number of conventions. But you can work on biodefense and chemical defense research with the goal of making countermeasures to protect yourself. And so here's the thing. To make the countermeasures, you also have to make the weapon. So this is exactly what happened with SARS-CoV-2 or COVID. They were doing the gain-of-function work in China, and we gave them the most advanced biotechnology in the world to basically weaponize infectious disease agents, and then it leaks out of their laboratory in late August or early September of 2019. And I started saying all this stuff over a year and a half ago when I had it all figured out, and one of my senators, in my state called me crazy. You know, Senator Gary Peters, I put out like a tweet or press thing saying it was absolutely insane, it was crazy, and you know these people are he's a nut job. And his chief of staff threatened me on the phone. Well, guess what? I've been right about every single thing that I've said. And my reputation in the government is that I used to walk in the room and I didn't care what their political affiliation was. I was a scientist from a national laboratory, and we have a reputation of kicking the ass of federal government bureaucrats because we have a 100-year view of the country, a 200-year view. And we never really trusted them with the nukes anyways. And we were the guys who made the nukes, and we didn't really want to hand it over to them. I mean, that's really how the process works. So That was the dynamic of it. So I was walking there and I was always just very blunt. And, you know, these are the problems. These are the risks. These were my methods. And, you know, that's reality. And I think a lot of military people are like that as well. I served in the military. We have no time for BSing people. This is about protecting ourselves.
Yeah, isn't it? And see, we're a little deficient in right now because we're giving all our weapons to Ukraine and we're depleting our own sources, according to the Pentagon. Dan in New Jersey. First of our phone callers here with Dr. Andrew Huff. Go ahead.
Hi, I'd like to hear your comments about reports from the Hal Turner radio program that the West was operating more than a dozen biological weapons research facilities that went at least four stories underground in Ukraine, some as close as 15 miles to the Russian border, and that was one of the major motivating factors why Russia started its special military operation to shut down these laboratories.
All right. I'm going to have a dog barking behind me real quick. I'm going to give me 1 second, and I'll answer his question.
I have one of those, too. Here's the thing. Dan, thanks for your call. We appreciate that. And Dr. Huff's going to get back with you in a minute. He's got a dog that likes to yap during the show. So I have one of those, too, but she doesn't yap that much. She's, as a matter of fact, laying right down here next to me. So, and she's very quiet during our interviews because she knows this is important. Anyway, so the answer to that question, see, we already, Hal Turner had released a video showing that there was some sort of a chemical agent that was sprayed on Russian troops in the middle of a riverbed, and all of a sudden they started convulsing. You may or may not have seen that video, but is that we know that Hunter Biden and all the rest of them in Ukraine, we know that there are investments going on. Burisma, I think, was much deeper than what we're being told. The Biden administration is an ongoing battle to try to keep all this thing under the radar. They don't want it exposed because then they would find out how much the Biden administration is compromised from the DOD all the way up to the White House.
Yes,
so the answer to the question that he asked about Ukraine.
Yeah, so the simple answer here is that a number of interesting things happen. So there's a Bulgarian journalist who's sort of an expert on these different laboratories. She might be a Russian asset, you know, who knows, journalist, but she'd been collecting information on all these different laboratories, and she had in her possession all the documents that were recovered. And she shared those with me, and when I reviewed the documents, it looked like standard biosurveillance. So that's the systematic collection of information, samples from typically wildlife or humans to identify infectious disease threats. So that's all I saw. I didn't see any gain of function work. I didn't see anything that constituted weaponization. The other interesting thing about my backstory is, so the laboratory contracts that were in place with these Ukrainian laboratories. So first of all, these weren't U.S. labs. They were Ukrainian labs, and the U.S. government had contracts with them. And through the Department of Defense's Defense Threat Reduction Agency, there's a program called the Cooperative Biological Engagement Program. So how that works is, let's talk about the goal here. The DOD ultimately wants to be able to collect biosurveillance or intelligence on these laboratories so they can mitigate and protect soldiers on the battlefield. So they can identify infectious disease threats so they can protect Americans. So they contract with all these laboratories all over the country because it's better that they're friends with us and they're giving information to us rather than the Chinese or the Russians or some other hostile actor to the United States. So these programs are really well intended. So when I worked at Sandia, I worked on these programs in the unclassified and classified space. So I'm pretty familiar with them. Then I go to EcoHealth Alliance and I sort of understand what's going on with our contract relationships with that we have. But it wasn't through this CBET program. What happens in 2016, I actually work with Dr. Billy Koresh, who is the executive vice president, on writing the proposals for the CBET program contracts with multiple other Beltway bandits and companies, including the laboratories in Ukraine. So at least the proposals that I helped write, it contained nothing related to gain-of-function work. So it was all biosurveillance. Now, could these laboratories have been doing something nefarious, weaponization on their own independently of the United States? Yes, that's certainly possible. I haven't seen any proof that they were working on weaponization like we were with Wuhan in any of the documents. So it's possible. I just haven't seen the proof. So, you know, for everyone here in the audience, there's a lot of people going around saying, oh, they're building bioweapons in these labs in Ukraine. Just ask people, can you show me any proof of it? You know, and these are, you know, strong accusations to be making. So it's important that we just stick to the facts. Can you show me any documents to prove it? Because I would certainly change my position if somebody could show me some evidence or proof that it was happening. Reasonable person, I mean, show me the proof. Okay, so I haven't seen it. And I'm pretty well versed in this stuff and connected to a lot of people. And even Russia actually contacted me. So the Russian embassy sent me a letter. I posted this to Twitter. They asked me to assist the Russian Federation with the investigation of the origin of COVID and the investigation of the Ukrainian labs. Well, I had to decline because that's real treason, not the J6 kind. So, I declined. You know, it's sort of flattering to receive crazy to receive a letter like that. But, you know, they think I'm an expert on this, at least from the American perspective, but unfortunately I can't help them. So you had mentioned, you know, they're using Ukraine's using chemical weapons and other things. Yeah, I mean, I think my take on the Ukrainians, they're Nazis. A lot of them are Nazis. A lot of them are without ethics or values. And it's a really corrupt place, you know. So I don't understand why the United States government, why we're backing them anyways. I'm totally against the U.S. support of what's happening in Ukraine. Maybe there's more there, but it is sure a mechanism for corruption here in the United States. I mean, if you do look at the Biden administration's financial interests with those laboratories through MetaBiota, their contracts, I mean, it's just complete scum. I mean, it's everything that's wrong with political corruption in the U.S.
This is a scary thought that our own government would do this and participate in stuff like this that works against its people. The thing is now we have Chinese scientists that have actually come out of the gate on national television, on Fox News, and admitted that the release from the lab in Wuhan was intentional.
Yes, and I've heard that, but I haven't seen it. Once again, I'm very measured. I haven't seen the proof of it. So actually, when I first came out two years ago when I was talking about this, I was in the camp intentional because I was like, they had the motive to do it. Well, so when I wrote the book, I had to think, and I have a chapter on this. I had to think really critically. Show me the proof. Okay, what can we prove? What can we not prove? So here's the thing. In August 2018, the maybe even earlier, but there's a leak that happens in the late summer of 2019. And when the leak is identified, they panic by containment equipment to get control of the leak. So they're aware of it. The disease is spreading around the planet from that point, starts. And Event 201, this was basically about all these globalist World Economic Foundation types, governments getting on board together to basically capitalize, profit, and condition everyone how to behave because they all knew it was spreading already, okay? Now, just think about those key points here. The other thing that's true about bioweapons, you typically wouldn't release one on your in your own homeland unless you had the countermeasure. So it could be suicide to release a biological agent unless you had the countermeasure to distribute to your population, because you know these wealthy elite people don't want to catch the disease. They can't hide forever. They would know that. The other thing that happens here to consider is that if you look at the Chinese Communist Party's stated objectives from like 2016 to 2018, before this happens, they want to increase the party size by 1 million. They want China to be the global dominant superpower. They want, you know, they want to have increase their GDP. Well, if anything, China's credibility is hurt by this. Their GDP actually goes down in COVID. Okay, they didn't make money, they lost money. And they actually probably weakens the Communist Party. So if you look at their stated objectives and the net impact of this, it doesn't seem like this is an intentional release. It'd be much easier to release this in the United States, for example, and at least try to pin the blame that way. You know, and back to the earlier thing here, well, China is right by pointing the finger at the United States because we gave them the advanced biotechnology to do all of this. So Congress is going to try to, and the Republicans are really doing this, they're trying to pin they're playing the blame China game. Okay, China is at fault for some of this, but you have to remember, it was a bunch of stupid bureaucrats and technocrats in the United States that schemed up this idea to outsource this crap to China. And it was a terrible idea, because since when do we give weapons to our biggest enemy? I mean, that's why what's so insane on this. And it's not worth any amount of intelligence. I mean, the simple corollary here is, can you imagine us giving the Chinese some, or teaching the Chinese how to enrich uranium, okay? Then we teach them how to build a bomb. And then they detonate the bomb in our country. Okay, that's exactly what happened, but it was a biological agent. Would we blame the Chinese purely for that? No, of course not. So the Americans have a lot of blame here. They need to hold people like Dr. Peter Daszak accountable, Dr. Anthony Fauci, Dr. Ralph Baric. All these people should be, in my opinion, looking at life sentences based on the amount of people that died in the chaos and all this insanity. Probably should be facing the death penalty. I think you could make a case.
That's more like, Dr. Andrew, this is more along the lines of what our listeners are thinking, is that they all should hang for this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this would be the actual time to bring back an old-fashioned, probably early 19th series gallows at the Capitol. And you Nuremberg just pull the switch all at once and they fall. I mean, I think the evidence here is so overwhelming and damning that these people just committed the worst crimes against humanity. And all their co-conspirators, you know, that went along with it, they should probably be facing life sentences. I don't think, you know, you get down to the next tier. I don't think maybe they should be executed when found guilty or if found guilty, but they should be facing life sentences.
This is some pretty scary stuff we're talking about here, folks. Dr. Andrew Huff is with us, and Dan in New Jersey, thanks for your phone call. We are coming up to the break now. We will be back with Dr. Andrew Huff after the bottom of the hour break at 32 minutes after the hour. And until then, get your questions ready, because I know you got a lot of them. Here you got an insider that's been telling you truth bombs. You got to have questions. 844-769-2944. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being mean so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
And we are back at 32 minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time on Wednesday, March 15, 2023. Dave Krieger with you here in the Power Hour. Thank you so much for joining us. Dr. Andrew G. Huff is with us. Now, here is frontline information, folks, that you don't get in a lot of other places. I know you got a lot of questions. Politics definitely is coming into play here. We have always deemed that our own government was lying to us. Sometimes lies by omission constitute virtually the same thing. You just didn't tell the whole story. And then it looks like it was a cover-up. The whole thing was, let's point and deflect and pitch this in the wrong direction because we don't want it coming back at us. This is exactly what I have been saying for years actually happened. 844-769-2944 is our toll-free number. I know you got questions. I got a big one. How much did Trump know? You said all these bureaucrats in the Senate knew. How much did Trump know?
I mean, I can't speak for former President Donald Trump. I want to say I hope he didn't know. And what appears, I mean, from the communications, that it looks like the chain of command, so to speak, broke down at some point, and it looks like he wasn't informed of what was going on. It definitely appears that Dr. Anthony Fauci and Dr. Birx were probably lying to the president about a number of different things. And probably setting him up to look stupid, setting him up for failure. Robert Redfield from the CDC, he seemed to have a good idea or understanding of what was going on, and he was silenced. He just testified about that last week.
Yeah, he did.
So it's all coming out now that there's definitely a cover-up operation going on, and everyone wants to blame just Dr. Anthony Fauci. Well, Dr. Anthony Fauci definitely has a lot of the blame here. But the thing I have to point out, Dr. Anthony Fauci ran a sub-agency within the National Institute of Health, which is a sub-agency of Health and Human Services. He just doesn't have that kind of power or reach to pull this off across all the different intelligence community organizations and agencies. You know, can you imagine a sub-agency health director going over to the CIA or the ODNI or FBI and telling them what they had to do? No. I mean, a bunch of cops, law enforcement, intelligent people laugh at him, then probably, you know, break into his house and, you know, slash his tires. So, I mean, that's really the dynamic here. So who was really pulling the strings here for the cover up in this psychological operation? In my guess, it's someone at the ODNI, CIA, or probably the Department of Defense, and likely or the Department of Homeland Security. Likely, there was probably a few players from each one of these agencies that they got together and concocted this all up. The U.S. government knew about this outbreak. My guess is in by late September, at the latest, or early October 2019, and here's why. So I was contacted by a woman by the name of Dr. Amy Jenkins, who I met while I was a PhD student working with the Department of Homeland Security. Dr. Amy Jenkins had an impressive background in biological, you know, warfare, bioterrorism. She had worked on a number of classified programs. She was, at the time, I think she was working with the Department of Defense. She, at that time, then was working with the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. So a little bit of the backstory here. EcoHealth Alliance submits a proposal to DARPA with all the people I've been talking about, laying out the exact research you would conduct to basically make SARS-CoV-2 the final steps of it. DARPA rejects the proposal. That happens in 2018. But what's important to note here, scientists, the best scientists, whether in this type of research or, you know, engineering, you know, you can talk about bridges or mechanical, like engineers, they work ahead of the receipt of funding. So we're always working ahead, because the best way to actually win a contract or a grant is to prove that your concept works. So you always work ahead of the work. And at EcoHealth Alliance, we worked ahead. So by the time they submitted that proposal, I'm guessing that the work was already underway. And oftentimes proposals get rejected, and you just keep working to improve the weaknesses or the gaps so that you can apply again or apply somewhere else, recycle the proposal. You know, this is being efficient with your grant writing or contract writing or proposals. So this is probably what happened. Well, this Dr. Amy Jenkins person, she calls me in, listen to this, late September, early October 2019, and basically offers me a position at DARPA to be a program officer for this program of biologics, for basically biodefense, okay? Well, what's really strange here, she contacted me on a brand new phone number, on a new cell phone, that nobody from the national security apparatus in my old national security life had. I had not given that number to anyone yet.
Do you think it was a burner phone?
My phone? My phone wasn't a burner phone. It was just a new phone number. Hers, who knows? But we can find out.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all traceable. So how the heck did she get my phone number? Okay. And this goes through my mind in 2020. Like, I started thinking about this. And then I start thinking, then I figure out the timeline of when so once I found out when the disease actually emerged, it all clicked. They were trying to get me back into the program to give me a top secret clearance to silence me. Because when you look at the social network of all the people involved in this whole thing, I was the only one that was not able to be influenced by money or some other national security law. They would have prevented me from doing everything that I'm doing right now.
This is some pretty scary stuff, folks, because now, I mean, given what Judy Mikovits and others, Mickey Willis and the people that are in the know that have done the movie Plandemic and Plague of Corruption and everything else, I mean, a lot of these scientists ended up dead.
Yeah.
You know, because they caught on much earlier in the game. But see, the thing is this is all leading up to something bigger and even more nefarious as part of the Hegelian dialectic, which we've also been pontificating here, because they locked us down once all this happened. They already knew in their mind that Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, AstraZeneca, they were all making these drugs. They were all messing with the mRNA. They were all looking at, you know, magnetic hydrogel. They were all looking at graphene oxide. They had been studying this stuff. A German scientist was literally taken out in his own apartment after going public with it by German police. And this is, you know, one of these things that, you know, people's cognitive dissonance. Why would my government do this? Why would my government want to kill me? See, they're all asking these questions, and I've got frontline doctors on there saying it's depopulation. This thing was created as part of a solution. And the solution was, you know, we got to create a problem first, because that's the way Hegelian dialectic works. And it's all part of those Venn diagrams that our vice president absolutely loves to talk about and laughs when she's talking about it. The Venn diagram is talking about this you know, problem created. We have a solution. The solution is the jab. All of a sudden, the jab comes out, and people are taking it, and people are dropping dead of it. That's the problem. And Birx then turns around and writes a tell-all book, which I've told people don't buy because I don't want to make this woman rich. She's already lied to the American people. Now she's telling us the whole backstory. And, oh, yeah, well, we told people 15 days to stop the spread because we're trying to think of how we're going to keep this up. How are we going to keep this narrative going? And then they, you know, basically all my callers are saying the CIA is sitting there and the government is sitting there admitting to paying off the media to keep the narrative going. I mean, it's all part of that Hegelian dialectic to see how many people they could get to take the mRNA jab for the purposes of social and societal control. Isn't that where this is going?
Maybe, maybe not. So, and I actually discuss this in the book and I break it down. So I think if you look at, you have to be specific here. So who are you talking about? You're talking about like Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation or Bill Gates himself or the Soros of the world. I mean, they stand to make a lot of money from this. So these people only care about the money. So it's about getting the product out onto the market and then getting it purchased, you know, so they make money on their investments. If you look at the World Economic Foundation type, it's a little bit different here. That you can say that's for societal control, and maybe there's some overlap there. If you look at the Chinese Communist Party, it could be the same thing. U.S. government doesn't want any fault here, and you know they want to look in control, and so do the Chinese, and all the superpowers of the world want to look like they're in control of what's happening. A lab leak undermines that whole entire process. So I think it really matters. You have to be specific there. Who's trying to control people? Who's trying to make money? Because I think the motives for the way that would then translate into behavior are different for each one of those specific groups or people or organizations or governments. So the devil's really in the details of who would do this and why. Now, in terms of, you know, getting the jabs out there, well, at least from the U.S. perspective, mRNA, and Dr. Robert Malone talks about this, mRNA was thought to be the silver bullet for biodefense, meaning that if a biological agent was released by a terrorist or there was a biological attack in the United States or there was just a naturally emerging pandemic, they wanted to use the mRNA platform so they could, because it can be rapidly edited and put into production. So to compare here, it only takes a few weeks to put an mRNA jab for a specific disease into production. Traditional egg-based vaccines take 9 months, best case scenario, okay? So if you look at this, you're like, well, you know, we need something now. And that's really the impetus for this mRNA platform getting pushed so heavily by the intelligence community, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Department of Defense. So there are a number of government meetings and academic conferences, probably funded by, I'd say, the defense industrial complex to get this mRNA platform onto the market. And some of it's also through, you know, cancer research and HIV. They're trying to make it work for all sorts of different things. And where Dr. Anthony Fauci is really just the most terrible person on the planet, he basically works with the Department of Defense to get the emergency use authorization and the defense procurement of the mRNA vaccine or gene therapy, because that's really what it is, and to push it onto the market. And Dr. Anthony Fauci keeps it going because he's aware of it. He's in on the gain of function scam. Okay. To, you know, this huge thing of why this pandemic happened in the first place. He's in on the cover up of the draconian lockdowns, you know, the tyranny, the restriction of liberty, and he's making money off this product, and he gets to look like a savior because the intelligence community and the pharmaceutical industry is propping him up like a god. So this is, you know, it's insane that it played out like this, but nobody, you know, the government is full of a bunch of cowards and people that only care about self-interest. Because look how many bureaucrats in these agencies. Nobody spoke up. Everyone was scared. You know, we should take a hard look at ourselves in the United States and look at who's in power. And not look at this from a party perspective, whether Democrats this or Republicans this, because I'm telling you, we're both in on it. You just look at their behavior and what they've done. And we need to start questioning who's been elected into our government. We need to start questioning these bureaucrats and how they behave, because someone should have stood up and said, this is wrong. You look in the military, someone should have stood up and said, this is wrong. And there are a few whistleblowers who came forward, like Doc P. Chambers, Colonel Teresa Long. There have been some good people in the military, but it's a huge organization. Why are they the only, you know, couple? And there's been a few others I didn't name. But if you look at the amount of people who've came forward with vital information to this story, I mean, it's a very, you know, it's way less than 1%. So why are there so few of us speaking out? And the nice thing or the good thing is, I think people like us, we've been motivating other people to come forward with other information. There's more and more people coming forward, but they're all concerned about losing their job or losing their pension. And I just don't understand that, because who cares about your job? You can go get another job. You can find other ways to make money. There's a lot of ways to make money. Why do you care so much about losing your government job or your pension? I mean, it's just ridiculous. And the government underpays compared to the private sector by at least usually by 50% for the upper level technocrats and bureaucrats. I mean, they get paid twice the money if they work at a pharmaceutical company or in the defense space. So none of that really makes sense. I mean, it's really representative of all the problems that we have in our country with crony capitalism going on and people operating in self-interest, at least politically.
Well, and when we first started broadcasting about this on my Florida radio show, and my co-host is a retired attorney that used to be a law clerk for U.S. District Court judge for over 9 years, and the two of us would go at it, because back then he thought I was crazy. We had Dr. Judy Mikovits on the show. We had Dr. David Martin on the show. Dave Martin from University of Virginia. He was showing and exposing all the patents. When my co-host, who is fairly liberal in his mindset, started to see all of this, and then we're seeing the adverse events in the Bayer system and all of the manipulation of data. We're seeing the CDC flat out coming out and lying about this thing to perpetuate the fraud. And it was all about the money. I believe you're right about that. It was a money trail that we were chasing. But the thing is the actual outcome, we've got all these people out there that trusted our United States government with something that is turning out, and people are actually saying that the jab is now turning out to be the bioweapon itself, that they are injecting this in there, and it's got all this junk in there that's killing people. And they knew it when they tested it. They saw people dropping dead. They hid that data. I mean, does your book get into more of this expose, or is it stop at a certain point?
It does get into the development and the failures of the mRNA platform. And the funny thing here is, you know, so Pfizer, because Pfizer's granted immunity, if you look at this, and Moderna, for the production of this platform. And when they're granted immunity, they're then incentivized to lie in the toxicology studies, the safety studies that they do very early on in this process. And then they lie to the government, okay? But what's going to happen? They can't get sued, at least, you know, for the people getting hurt down the pipeline. The U.S. government probably does have a good case, you know, if anyone has the courage to go back against Pfizer and say, you sold us a faulty product, you lied. I mean, it'd be very simple. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen, but they should. You know, American taxpayers should get their money back. It's very simple. We gave them all the money to develop this. Yeah, well, I mean, it'd be very easy for Congress to do this, or for the Justice Department to do it, actually. I mean, you could go seize all their assets and this would be over. You could do it in 5 to 10 minutes, probably. I mean, the U.S. government has that power. I mean, all they have to do is send the FBI down there and, you know, walk right to the building, take a couple of executives, have the Treasury freeze their accounts, and be over. But, you know, this is the kind of cowards that exist in our government, because that would be the right thing to do and no one's doing it. You'd think people at the Department of Defense would be livid about this, but they want this platform to work because it checked all the boxes. It made everyone look good. And as it continues to unravel, you know, I don't know where this is going to go. And I don't go into that much detail in my book. It's a little distracting because, I mean, the book's full of truth bombs. And I think on Amazon, it's got, you know, like a 4.5, you know, star rating with, you know, a substantial amount of reviews. All the, you know, the, I guess, critics who read the book, you know, they have favorable opinions of it. And I'll plug my Twitter too. So if your audience wants to follow me on Twitter, I put up a lot of interesting things. My Twitter handle is AGHuff, AGHUFF. I'm pretty prolific on there. And, you know, there's always new craziness coming up. Like yesterday, I had someone over plowing my driveway. I live in the far northern part of Michigan. Get a lot of snow here, you know, probably like some years, 18 feet. And, you know, my neighbors happened to be home too. And they all texted me and said that I had a Michigan State trooper, police officer, sitting in my driveway. And I have a mile long driveway, so I can't really see the end of it from my house. You know, so these people did all sorts of crazy stuff to me, and the Michigan State Police and the FBI and the Department of Defense were in on it, and I could prove all that. But here they are, you know, sitting in my driveway again. And, you know, breaking the law, they're trespassing. I specifically told the Michigan State Police with my one of my attorneys, Tom Renz, being one of them.
I love it.
With Tom Renz, that they couldn't trespass on my property. So now I just caught these idiots trespassing my property. This shows you how corrupt my governor is, Governor Whitner, the Michigan State Police. You know, this whole thing with, like, kidnap the governor plot? I had FBI agents actually show up to my house dressed as Michigan State Police. But here's the thing. You know, they tried to pull this crap on the wrong guy because I used to be a Fed. I used to be one of them. So I actually had recognized this guy following me in Chicago. He showed up at my house dressed as a Michigan State Police officer. And I couldn't believe it. I tried not to laugh. And I went along and I played their game. And he was trying to secretly record me with his cell phone. And, you know, they're trying to, you know, make me look crazy or scare me. No, I was just cool as a cucumber. Cool as a cucumber throughout, talk perfectly normal. And then they leave and I get called because I had Tom on the phone, you know, while these idiots are at my house listening to all this. I'm like, you're never going to believe this. And he's like, what? You know, because he's just on the phone. He doesn't know. And I was playing it cool. Yeah, this guy just showed up at my house dressed as a Michigan State Police officer, FBI agent that was following me in Chicago. And he's like, you're kidding me. And I'm like, no. And I'm like, so the funny thing is I got his name or whatever. And so I put this on social media yesterday. I think Emerald Robinson also commented on she and I chat. And, you know, these people are just – so he was probably just sitting in my driveway yesterday with a stingray trying to intercept my communications. I mean, all these people could go to prison, these low-level troopers or state police officers or management, because we also submitted FOIAs to the FBI about all the criminal activity that went down against me in my house. This is a simple FOIA. Please send us all emails with Andrew Huff's name on it. Well, they're refusing to provide the emails.
Of course they are.
Well, funny. The funny thing is, why do they even have emails with my name on it?
Good question. I mean, because you know too much. That's what bothers me. You know, because Judy Mikovits clearly said people she know all of a sudden cease to exist. This is one of the reasons why, you know you're being surveilled. And the only reason is possibly you could be being surveilled is because you're telling the truth. He came out of the gate swinging and they didn't like it because it exposes too many people, which is one of the reasons why people should be going out and getting this book, The Truth About Wuhan, How I Uncovered the Biggest Lie in History. Folks, we're talking to somebody that actually worked on the inside of Echo Health Alliance. I don't know how much plainer I can be. I mean, this is an honor to have Dr. Andrew Huff here on this show with us. And the thing is that Twitter hasn't censored you.
Oh, well, I mean, so I was actually early on in this, I was kicked off LinkedIn. So I was up to quite a bit of following. So I met Dr. Malone through LinkedIn, and our followings are both rapidly increasing. And, you know, he was talking about Mercs and leaky vaccines. And I wasn't familiar at that time, or as familiar as Dr. Malone, obviously, with mRNA, but I did, you know, studied up real quick. And I'm like, holy crap, he's right. So I came out right away in support of probably one of the first scientists to say, hey, this guy's right. And, you know, and start talking about these leaky vaccines causing new variants to emerge. And I was pushing that really hard. And I got up to about 40,000 followers and boom, kicked off LinkedIn. And I wasn't present on any other social media platform. So I went to Twitter. And so on Twitter, I learned my lesson, at least, you know, mind myself, censor myself. I wasn't going to talk about the vaccine. The only thing I talked about was the origin, the lab leak. And so I do believe my account was restricted, you know, like shadow banned, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So I was operating like that for a long period of time. And then, you know, thank God Elon Musk comes and buys a company. And then all this blows up.
Well, the thing is, see, when the truth starts to get out, that's when the heat starts getting turned up and they start ramping up on you. And this is when, you know, I mean, has this kind of surveillance increased over time, or did it kind of stop for a little bit when you went more public and came out with the book, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're not being surveilled anymore because the cat's out of the bag? I mean, how?
Well, no,
work?
I mean, it's much worse than that. I mean, so the FBI was flying basically Cessna sorties around my house. We had I had fixed wing and quadricopter type drones circling my house all the time. I mean, just annoying as hell. They're breaking into my house repeatedly. They tased my dog. They pointed up what's called a long range acoustic device at my house.
An LRAD. Yeah.
Yep. They pointed an LRAD at my house, and I know exactly how they did it and where they did it from. It's just the length these idiots went to break the law. I'm going to own them. And after I own them, I'm going to go after criminal charges, because the best part is my story is going so big right now. I don't even have to do the investigation myself. I have a number of independent people that are also pissed off that are filing FOIAs and doing this stuff with the government that everyone else is going after them. So if anyone in your audience wants to get in and help me out, please start filing FOIAs with any agency you think that might be involved with my name on it. And then if you post it to Twitter or contact me, you know, I'll thank you or whatever. The thing is, all Americans need to get in on this fight, because if they're doing this crap to me, this is just going to be the tip of the iceberg of what's coming in the future. And that's why I'm fighting back so hard. So I had no intention of even writing this book, but they started doing this stuff to me. And that's when I got into the fight hard.
Wow, that's amazing. Dr. Andrew G. Huff, thanks so much for being on the show. We'll have to touch base after you get these lawsuits filed and whenever you start doing something crazy with these people and locking horns with them. We want to be on the front line of this thing, so we look forward to having you back on the show again. Thank you so much for joining us. You've been a wonderful myriad of knowledge here. It's just amazing what you find out when you drop truth bombs here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. We're out of time for today. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless the United States of America. What's left of it. See you tomorrow.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall here to tell you about a North American urban spice product called Chaga Max. This product is considered SOD, or superoxide dismutase. This is an enzyme found in all living cells. SOD helps break down potentially harmful oxygen molecules in cells. Chaga Max is fortified with the powers of wild oregano and wild birch bark. Get your Chaga Max by calling 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.